This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown.
NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's like it's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the Tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. This is the Tailgate. Every Saturday morning, we talk football, college football, pro football, Division III, grade school football. We'll talk any type of football on the show. Tailgating, I'll tailgate anywhere, a football game, a funeral. That's what we do here. Robbie Tirano's with me. We're going to talk football all day today. Robbie, it's 20 degrees where I'm at. It's 19 where you are. This is deep football weather. This is where you go to a game and you might lose a toe. But if you lose a toe for the team, it's fantastic. Remember Ronnie Lott, the player who played for the Niners? He gave up half of his pinky for his team once. Read that story if you're wanting to deep dive on what people do for the teams. College football today. It's a light slate, Army versus Navy today, then the Heisman ceremony tonight. And the shocker of the week before we get to the NFL and the Bears, Bill Belichick to North Carolina. That is wild. If I told you that 6 months ago, if I told you that 6 days ago, you'd have been surprised. We're going to get to all that. Why he made the right decision, why they made the right decision. Bowl season's almost underway. The Pool and Weed Eater Bowl, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, the Pop-Tart Bowl. I don't care what bowl it is. I'm watching it. Give me UTEP versus New Mexico on a Tuesday at 4 p.m. I'll tune in. We're going to tune in. We love football. College football nightly, football, all through the month. The college football playoff is set. We're going to get to that. You know, it is so cold right now. I'm freezing even in the studio I'm in right now. Robbie, I think we got to come up with a new concept. How about 670 The Score warm winter hoodies. What are your thoughts?
Oh my God. To have that type on me, to be in the cold, but repping the brand, I would love nothing more than that.
Right. How about a black one, a white one, a gray one with big 670 the score, real cozy, real soft. I mean, I have to talk to the people at Homage. We got to get 670 the score hoodies for, you know, especially when you're laying around, you're going to get the football in a second, but there's nothing better than a big couch, a hoodie, a remote control, and something cold in your hand. That's how you watch football. That's how I do it on the score. I'm Paul Papp, 670 the score. Let's get to it. I delayed the inevitable. Let's get to the Bears next game. Bears at Vikings, Monday Night Football, national TV. Sometimes I have this weird thing as a Bears fan, a lifelong Bears fan, that when they're on national TV, I'm both excited and I get kind of this stomach ache of, oh, what's going to happen? Because it rarely works out well. I don't know what the Bears record is historically on Monday Night Football, but my guess it's under 500. Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, I got to check that. But remember back in week two when the Bears played on national TV, NBC Sunday Night Football against the Texans? I was like, this is too big of a stage too early. And they actually put up a good fight against the Texans. That seems like a zillion years ago, by the way, that game. And a lot has happened since. But my concern here is that the Bears lay an egg, like they did last weekend, which we'll get to, in front of a national audience against the Vikings. The Vikings have everything to play for. The Vikings, nobody liked them for the season. And I'll say first, I thought they were going to finish fourth in division. You know, that the Bears, the Vikings have everything to play for. They're right there. They're above the Packers. They're right behind the Lions. If the Lions slip up, the Vikings are right there. The Bears, what are they playing for this weekend? That's, I think, the tone in Chicago right now. There's this last four games of the year. What does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters for pride. It matters for what you're going to do next year at a lot of different positions. But I think the Bears fans are frustrated right now because there are so many wins that could be had. And if you look at the last four games of the year, Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. Those are four teams that need to win and are in the playoff picture. And the Bears, I don't know if playing for pride with some people is enough, but I heard David Haw say this during the week. He said on Mully and Haw, you know, a lot of these young players are mid-level players. You're putting stuff on tape to keep a job next year with the Bears or with another team. So hopefully that's enough to get them fired up. Minnesota, they're favored by a touchdown, and that's probably kind to the Bears. Sam Darnold, remember him at USC? He goes to the Jets. It doesn't work out. He bounces around the league. He's the Vikings quarterback, and he hasn't cooled off. He had a great September. He cooled off a touch in October, but he's playing fantastic. Sam Darnold at 27 is having a career resurgence, and he's a true free agent after this year. The Minnesota Vikings have, like, good problems at quarterback, but real problems as far as financially. Do they keep Sam Darnold going forward and pay him? My guess would be 4 years, $130 million. That's probably what he's going to get on the free agent market, which is nuts. But he gets that mid-level Baker Mayfield-type contract. But they have J.J. McCarthy, who they took out of Michigan, who got hurt, missed the season because of his knee. Do they sit him like a Jordan Love situation? I doubt it. Vikings are 11-2, right behind the Lions. I have a hard time picturing the Bears making this a real tight game. Not a blowout, but I don't think it's going to be beautiful. Hopefully I'm proved wrong. Monday Night Football, it's always weird because you watch football all weekend as a Bears fan, and you don't have to, like, worry about anything on Sunday. You just go red zone, you pick a few games, and then you get all pumped up for Monday night, and then hopefully what happens is pretty good. But before Chicago takes on Minnesota, tune in Monday at 5 p.m. local time for the Your Local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. My mom sent me a picture of some Aurelio's she had the other day. She rubbed it in. Spiegel and Holmes are filling in for Mully. They'll get you set for the game with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. Then right after the game, Olin, Pat, Layla Rahimi. We'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago and TimberTech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on the Score and the Odyssey app. Just a minute on the Bears last week, the total no-show versus San Francisco. That game had no pulse, no fire. You know, you got what you wanted. You know, Bears fans, the people in Chicago, the offensive coordinator is gone. The head coach, Matt Eberflus, is gone. All week on the Score, I heard different hosts say, maybe get that bump, that reaction to the new head coach, and let's go out there and, you know, we got what we wanted. Let's rally. And that first half was as uncompetitive as a half as the Bears put together all year, offensively and defensively. Oftentimes, it's been the offense where it slow starts and the defense keeps them in the game. Go back to the Houston game. Go back to most of the games. This is the score is 38-13. It really wasn't that close, which is weird to say. A couple scores late in the game, but they doubled us, the Bears, in rushing. They doubled in passing. It didn't look that great. And you're going against a San Francisco team that, you know, is playing for their lives, and now they're kind of out of it with the loss to the Rams on Thursday night. But that was a beat-up 49ers team. That's an opportunity to say, like, hey, we're going to get this new head coach. We're going to get him something going. We're going to get a win, and it wasn't even close. And you know what's even worse about that game? when you have a tight game, like the, you know, the games against Green Bay and Minnesota and Detroit, that three game stretch in November where all three were winnable and different coaching decisions late cost the Bears the game. This was a game where there's nowhere to go. There's nothing to talk about. It was just a no-show. And it's actually worse than those close games. The close games hurt more when your team loses because you're like, if we did this, if we did that. When you lose 38-13, you're like, well, if we made that block on that punt return, no, it would have been 38-20. It's a non-competitive game. The loss of the Niners was ugly and embarrassing, and they didn't have many of those this year, the Bears. So, of course, Caleb Williams had to clean up the mess and go in front of the podium and do his podium time. And he talked a little bit about the state of the Bears and the state of losing.
It's tough. It's interesting, is the way I put it. I've never had a streak like this of losing in my playing. So I ask questions. You know, I do understand that. You know, this is one my first time kind of being a part of something like this of losing and this, you know, this streak going. So I ask questions to the guys that, you know, may have lost a bunch of games or in a row like this, or, you know, had losing seasons. I ask some questions because, you know, the more knowledge that I have prepares me for the future. If this ever, you know, comes close to, you know, something like this again, and I'm going to work hard and make sure it doesn't. But if it ever happens again, figuring out ways to, you know, keep going, keep pushing.
You know, it's interesting. I listen to the score all week when I'm driving and I work on the Dan Patrio. Again, this is the Tailgate 670 The Score. I'm Paul Peps. A lot of college football coming up, but staying with the Bears for a minute here. And I always listen to Mully and Haw, and I like to hear what they say about what Caleb Williams says, because I think they're two smart guys and they cut through all the BS. And they love the way he handles things. I do love the way he handles things. And I think he is the future of this franchise. I don't really have any questions about that, but it's got to be tough for a 23-year-old to have to answer questions about this kind of losing streak. But that's a job you get when you're the big guy, you're the first pick, you get all the dough. So the Bears right now are 4-9. They were 4-2. That's almost hard to do, to go from 4-2 to 4-9. You could stumble into a win. We're now past the point of the season. I think we're at the point of the season where you could see four wins being the end game. Maybe a fluky win over the next few weeks. I got to be realistic about it. It's almost time to start peeking at the 2025 draft board for the Bears. I do that. There's a thing called NFL Tankathon. If you go on the internet, the big internets, NFL Tankathon has real-time rankings of where your team is for the NFL draft upcoming. Right now, the Bears have the 9th pick of the draft. If you lose 3 of the next 4 or 4 of the next 4, the Bears will probably have the 6th pick of the draft, which is, that's good news as far as like the future. You know, you get a great offensive lineman, whatever it may be. I do want to go back to the last draft quickly. I love Rome Odunze. He's a fantastic college player. He's a great wide receiver. I think he's going to be fantastic for this franchise. I have zero doubts about him. However, on the Dan Patrick Show on draft day, I said the Bears should take Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, and I stand by that. Brock Bowers is the best rookie in the NFL this year, including Jaden Daniels, including Caleb Williams and others, and Bo Nix. Brock Bowers has already set the rookie tight end reception record. He's going to set the reception record for all rookies all time in the NFL in about 3 weeks on a team that stinks and has poor quarterback play. Brock Bowers out of Georgia, he's a machine. I do wish the Bears would have got him. Again, this isn't anti-Odunze. This is pro-Brock Bowers. Anytime the best tight end prospect in a decade is on the board, you don't pass. I can't imagine how good this franchise would be. And you're going to say, oh, they have Cole Kmet. They have Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet is a good wide receiver, a good tight end. He's a B-level tight end. You know, no offense, B-plus maybe. I don't think he's a first-team All-Pro, and Brock Bowers is going to be that probably this year. Rookies don't make first-team All-Pro. Robbie, real quick, I want to go to you, Robbie Toronto, the producer of the Tailgate on the Score. You had a piece this week for the Score about Ryan Poles. Give me your summary in two sentences of what your take was on that.
Yeah, so Ryan Poles got so much goodwill from executing maybe one of the greatest trades of all time with the Panthers. You get that entire haul for the first-round pick, and you get your franchise quarterback. It's incredible. But then you look at all of the moves he has done wrong, and you look at what happened with Matt Eberflus. He hired Matt Eberflus, and it didn't work out. But then he kept in him again. That's a fireable offense. And then you look at some roster moves that he's made, and they're just bad decisions. And I think Ryan Poles has been not had the finger pointed at him. And I think it's time to point at him and be like, hey, you need to do better. And I don't know if he deserves another chance of getting another head coach.
Yeah, I read your article, and you guys can read it on 670thescore.com. Again, this is a Tailgate. Paul Papps here with Robbie Toronto every week on the Tailgate. We get to college football in a couple minutes. I read your article, and I agreed with about 75% of it. Fireable offense, I'm very hesitant to fire. I always like to be a little bit patient. I think patience sometimes works out. But I do see what you're saying. you know, the trade with Carolina, that's all time. But that was really T-ball. That was on a tee for you, and all you had to do was execute the trade. You knew what the fans wanted. I agree with you on a couple of things. I think taking a lineman out of Yale in the second round of the draft was an unsafe draft pick and too risky of a draft pick. Some of the other things, again, I would say that, you know, Matt Eberflus got one more year. I think Ryan Poles will get one more year, even if they lose four more games. Let's get to it. Let's get to the NFL standings right now. Big NFL weekend. AFC East right now, the Buffalo Bills 10-3, not having any problems. They actually had a loss. The Miami Dolphins are 6-7, and a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon when Tua got hurt early in the season. Technically still alive for a wild card spot. The AFC North, I'm going to thump my chest here for a minute. I said before the season, the Dan Patrick Show, that Russell Wilson will start a playoff game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There was a lot of anti-Russ sentiment going into the season. Remember about 6-7 weeks ago when Russ was cleared to play with that calf injury, and but Justin Fields, who was the Steelers quarterback, was having a nice run. I think he won three of his first five games, or three of his first four. Everyone, not everyone, but almost everyone in sports media said, you got to stick with Justin Fields. Russ is past his prime. Where are you now? Where are you now? A lot of people jumped off the Russell Wilson bandwagon because I think he turns people off a little bit, his demeanor, his tone, whatever it may be. That doesn't bother me. I just want my quarterback to play well. And if you look at Russell Wilson, 9 of his first 10 years in the league, he played some high-level football. He had an off year with Seattle and an off year with the Broncos. But look what he's doing right now for the Steelers, and they're going to be in the playoffs. The Baltimore Ravens at 8-5. A little weird that they're not going to win the division this year. It's unlikely. AFC South, Houston Texans, a sexy pick before the season to make the Super Bowl. Little shaky this year. They're 8-5, still going to probably make the playoffs. The AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs at 12-1. No problem there. Can't even really see them losing. The LA Chargers and Denver Broncos, both 8-5. One of those two teams will probably get a wild card spot. Chargers always have lots of expectations. The Broncos had almost none. Bo Nix playing really well this year. Really good chance for one of those teams to make a playoff spot. NFC East. If I'm the Lions, the only team I'm really concerned about is the Philadelphia Eagles, who are 11-2 and have won 9 in a row. Eagles are interesting. The last half of last year, they stunk, and everyone jumped off their bandwagon. This year, they're winning a bunch of games. People are slowly getting back on. Washington Commanders had a nice start to the season. Jaden Daniels, the rookie, playing great for them. 8-5, still in the picture for the wild card. Detroit Lions, 12-1. They won 11 in a row. Their one loss was really close, and it shouldn't have been a loss. The Vikings are 11-2. They've won 6 in a row, as we talked about. And the Green Bay Packers, a little shaky loss there, 9-4, but they're right in the mix. Bears are 4-9. I think I mentioned that, lost 7 in a row. The NFC South, which is not really a sexy team, a sexy league to watch. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won 3 in a row. They're 7-6, while the Atlanta Falcons are 6-7. They've lost 4 in a row. I really like Tampa Bay. I would not want to play Tampa Bay in the playoffs. They have a really interesting offense. I think they should be about 10-3 right now, but they're 7-6. Baker Mayfield does not get enough credit. He's fantastic. He's doing really well. The offense looks great. They're one of the top offenses of the NFC. The NFC West is also kind of saucy. Seahawks, Rams, 8-5, 8-6. Seahawks play on Monday night or on this weekend. The Rams on offense are really good. And when Puka's healthy, Nacua, if you haven't seen him play, he's fantastic for the Rams. And of course, Cooper Kupp, they can do it. Seattle might be the least talked about team in the league. Geno Smith does not get a lot of coverage. That's just how it is when you're on the West Coast. I don't know why they don't get enough coverage, but they don't. So that's the NFL standings as we go. Before we get to Bill Belichick, I do want to do a little bit on what the plays are this weekend. Chiefs, Browns on Sunday, spread, Kansas City, only giving 4 to the Browns, which is kind of surprising. Bengals at Titans, Cincinnati giving 5.5. Commanders at Saints, Washington giving 7.5 to the Saints. Ravens, Giants, oh boy, this should not be pretty. Baltimore's giving 16 points to the Giants. They don't do spreads over 2 touchdowns in the NFL. I track this stuff. 13.5 is usually a max spread in the NFL, and you're getting 16 as the Giants. They stink. The Cowboys at the Panthers. Carolina is favored by 3 points against the Cowboys. I don't care that you don't have Dak Prescott. Carolina's playing really well. Bryce Young is having a little bit of a resurgence, and the Cowboys should be embarrassed if they don't win this one. Jets at Jaguars. This is the We Need a New Coach Bowl. Jets, Jaguars, that's on Sunday. Don't watch that. That's not good for you. Just, you know, again, go get a sandwich. Dolphins at Texans. That's also the early game on Sunday. Then to the late games, Colts, Broncos. That's good. 6-7 Colts. Nobody's talking about them at the Broncos. Broncos got a hold serve here. And then a couple of hammer games, the late games on CBS. Bills at Lions. Detroit's giving 2.5. Steelers at Eagles. That's on Fox. Philadelphia's giving 5.5. Patriots at Cardinals. Okay, I'll tune into that. Buccaneers, Chargers. That's a great one. Whoever wins is still in the playoff picture. Where it loses isn't. Same with this one. NBC, 8:20 p.m. Eastern. Packers at Seahawks. Green Bay giving 2.5. And, of course, the Bears on Monday night. That's it. There's where we go right now. We're going to get to college football in a second. Got a lot to get to. But let's start out right here. If I told you 4, 5, 6 months ago that Bill Belichick would be the head coach of North Carolina, I got to tell you, I didn't see it. I did see him coaching college football. I said earlier this year, I'm going to pat myself on the back again. Robbie, I'm going to tear a rotator cuff patting myself on the back today. I said on the Dan Patrick Show in the offseason that a team like Boston College or even Harvard should call Bill Belichick and ask him if he'd be an advisor. Not a head coach. I didn't say that, but like an advisor to the program. Bill loves to coach. That's all he loves. He loves coaching and cut-off sweatshirts, and that's it. And maybe his husky dog, right? And so Bill Belichick's off this year. He's doing the Manning cast. He's doing the Pat McAfee show. He's doing all types of media stuff, making truckloads of dough. But he wasn't coaching, and he is a coach. He doesn't coach. He is a coach. That's all he does, and that's all he loves to do. Bill Belichick has given up the NFL, or the NFL gave up on Bill Belichick to go to college football. This is a true sports shocker. I had to slow down on that one. Why now? If you think about it, I heard a lot of people say, oh, this won't work out. Bill Belichick, he's not going to go driving around the country recruiting kids. Do you think this is 1988 and the coach is going down the back roads of Alabama looking for that linebacker? This is a Zoom. This is a helicopter. This is NIL era. College football right now is basically professional football with fewer rules. I know a lot. I love college football. We're going to get to Andy Staples in 5 minutes. There's no salary cap in college football. There's no draft. There's no structure. Bill can build his roster at North Carolina with recruiting from high school, from the transfer portal. He can buy players with NIL funding. It's legal. He could poach players from smaller schools, legal-ish. He could take bigger school players. Like if you're the backup quarterback at Georgia and you're frustrated, go play at North Carolina. You'll start for Bill Belichick. You coach Tom Brady. Bill is one great quarterback away from being an ACC contender. Remember Auburn football a couple years before they got Cam Newton? How were they? They were middle of the road. Cam Newton, you're in the national title game. North Carolina football has never been great. They're always good, but they never get over the hump where they're a national title contender. Here's the rep on North Carolina football. Great uniforms, good football at a basketball school, period. I just defined North Carolina football in like 8 words. All that changed on Thursday. Bill Belichick will have full support, has full support of the boosters, the NIL collectors, which are the same thing now, the university, the state. It's a state school. It's going to be fun to watch. I interviewed Bill Belichick about 10 years ago at a Harvard-Yale thing up in Boston, and it was wild because interviewing Bill Belichick, I was sweating, Robbie, from my head to my toes, and I had to do it for this wheels.
There's no way you got the best answers out of him. He was probably really tough back then.
He was fantastic because it was not taped. It was in front of like a crowd of wheels up boosters and stuff like this, and it was around the Harvard-Yale game, and all Bill wanted to talk about was Army-Navy. Bill Belichick told me he watches one college football game a year live, Army-Navy, because his dad coached at Navy for 30 years. But now, in the offseason, he spent time watching college football, soaking in college football. He worked with his son. He advised his son, who's the defensive coordinator at University of Washington. He got back into college football over the past year, and that makes sense. Someone at North Carolina either heard about it, saw it, or connected with him, and Bill Belichick's dad coached briefly at North Carolina when Bill was a kid, and there it goes. And the press conference the other day was fantastic. Bill looked happy. He was doing what he wanted to do again. Pat McAfee show is fine. Makes some good dough. Manningcast is fine. That's filler. He's a coach. He wants to watch tape. He wants to sit by himself in a dark room and watch tape, and he couldn't be more happy. Here's what he said when he was asked about his NFL future.
Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, well, I didn't come here to leave.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to North Carolina football. They got an easy schedule next year. Look at what Deion Sanders did in less than 2 years at Colorado, and Colorado stunk. They were like 1-11. Bill has instantly made UNC football relevant. All right, let's get to some more college football. Coming up, Andy Staples, my guy from On3 Sports. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Papps. Let's hit some college football. That's next, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parcigian didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst, Southsider, 104th Street. Marion Catholic High School. Let's get to some college football in a second. But you know what I'm doing after this show? I'm going to go back to my house, make myself a big sandwich, and put on a hoodie, maybe from Homage, and lay around and watch college football all day. There's FCS playoffs later today. You got to find them, but they're pretty good. Don't forget, go to homage.com. Use the 15% off coupon. Use tailgate code for 15% off. Homage.com. Get your hoodie game going. Let's get to some college football because it's a lot of fun. We're in the home stretch. Last weekend, conference championship weekend. Boise State won the Mountain West. They're in the playoffs. Oregon won the Big Ten. Penn State looked better than I thought, and they're in the Big Ten. They're in the playoffs. Georgia won the SEC in overtime versus Texas. Both teams are in the playoffs. Clemson got housed week one on national TV, and they're in the playoffs. I didn't see this coming. They beat SMU in the ACC title game to sneak in the college football playoffs. A bit of a surprise. Even with the loss, SMU, my ponies, are still alive. And Arizona State, how wild is that? A party school. Roll to Iowa State and is in the Big 12 title game. No problem there. They are in the playoffs. The big teams left out. Alabama out. Ole Miss out. BYU out. And the Miami Hurricanes, who, man, they had it. They were in such good shape this year. All four of those teams have no one to blame but themselves. Don't blame committees. All you got to do is play well in November. You don't play well in November, you don't go to the playoffs. Right now, first round of the college football playoffs. Remember, these games, they're at the home team. Not some neutral site. That's week two. Clemson at Texas. Tennessee at Ohio State, SMU at Penn State, hopefully some snow, and Indiana at Notre Dame, which sets up to be either a blowout for Notre Dame or the greatest win by far in Indiana football history, and there's not a huge list of those. Later today, listen to this. If you don't listen to anything else on the show, and you should listen to the whole show. It really helps me. Army versus Navy, 2 p.m. on CBS. Please watch it. You have nothing better to do. Don't go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Don't do it. Don't go to a 3-year-old's birthday party. Sit down and watch Army-Navy. It'll make you feel good. It'll make you feel good about your country. Army's really good. Navy's okay. It's always a tight game. It's a lot of fun. And if you ever get a chance, go to an Army game at home or a Navy game at home. It's a great American sports experience. Heisman later tonight. Travis Hunter from Colorado. Don't want to spoil it. I think he's going to win it. Ashton Gentry of Boise State. I love the Heisman. We'll get to more of that in a little bit, but let's get to it. Joining us now in the tailgate, he covers college football well for On3 Sports. He's Andy Staples. Before we get to the college football playoff, I want to go to about 5 or 6 days ago. What was your reaction when the early reports of UNC talking to Bill Belichick started to surface?
Did not think it was real, or thought it was some sort of plot by, you know, some scheming booster. And the thing is, there has been a power struggle going on at North Carolina between the board chair and the AD. So I was like, oh, somebody's trying to sabotage somebody. But it turned out it was serious.
Yeah, it's real. It happened. It broke just a couple days ago. This show is, you know, recapping everything in the week of college football and pro football. But there was a lot of negative reaction. On the Dan Patrick show the other day, we noticed there was a lot of negative reaction. This will not work out. Bill Belichick can't coach college football. He didn't live it. He didn't breathe it. That negative reaction seems a little short-sighted to me. I look at Belichick and seem like a guy. He's a pro coach who is also a GM. Now he's going to college football at the time when college football is almost like professional football. What do you think is going to be his biggest obstacle to success?
Just all the crap you have to deal with as a college football coach that you don't have to deal with as an NFL coach. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a lot of – the thing is, like, an NFL player has a contract. He knows when he's going to be a free agent. You're a free agent in college football every day. Right. So somebody has a good game. They may come and coach. I'm going to need a better deal next week. Or all of a sudden my hamstring's going to tighten up. Like you got to deal with that kind of crap in college football, which you don't really have to deal with as much in pro football. But, you know, it's interesting to see the reactions because the college football heads feel like they're trying to gatekeep the sport. Like, right. Oh, you don't understand this. I think he understands it pretty well. I think he understands it very well. But then the NFL folks are like, well, he's going to come in and just run roughshod over those people. No. You're at North Carolina. Like, Georgia's devoting a lot more resources to football than North Carolina is. Even if you gave them a 400-page Bible that said, I need this much money, it doesn't matter. Like, Ohio State's still devoting more resources. Clemson's still better at it than you are. Like, you've got to catch up.
You know, and On3 Sports, you guys cover a lot about the collectives and NIL. You go deep into the finances of college football and college basketball. What do you think North Carolina had to do with their collectives around football, separately from basketball, to convince Bill to go there?
Well, this is the part that people don't understand about paying players in college football. It's all changing this year. Like, everybody think it's so funny because the collective has been around for 4 years now, mm-hmm. or three and a half years. And the casual fan is just now starting to understand what they are and how they work. And it's all changing. Like, right. The schools are going to be paying the players next year.
How would you summarize how it's changing?
The schools are going to be paying the players directly next year. There's a settlement in a federal court case called House versus the NCAA. And basically, schools are going to have around $20 million or so to share with players next year if they choose to. And all of the big ones are going to choose to. All of the football the big football schools are going to put about $15 million into football. And then there will be collectives still, you know, booster groups that raise money to pay players, but they are going to be more supplementary. So like Wake Forest is going to have $15 million bucks spent on football. Like, so I saw somebody reported on Wednesday that North Carolina's collective budget is going from $4 million to $20 million. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It was $4 million last year, and they're adding $15 million of rev share.
When you look at this and you see, for those who don't know nationally, we're in Chicago talking college football. North Carolina football has always been on the cusp and never over the
sleeping
cusp.
Giant. They always called North Carolina and Arizona State the sleeping giants. Yes. Nobody ever understood why they couldn't win there. And hey, Arizona State's in the playoff this year. So, you know, right. one and, giant's awake. Let's see.
North Carolina has great uniforms. We'll talk about that in a second. But they got guys like Ronald Curry or Haynesworth back in the day. Lawrence Taylor. They've always had bits of talent. It feels like can you see any downside for North Carolina in this move with Belichick?
No, I don't see any downside. I mean, it's actually more of a Deion play than people realize.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to get people pumped up. He has an advantage like Deion does, where players are going to want to play for him and listen to him because he brings instant credibility like Deion does. And it's similar. Actually, North Carolina's in a better position than Colorado was. Like, Colorado had no money, no nothing, no roster, no fan support. And Deion gets there, and all of a sudden, they have all of it except the money. But because he's Deion, he can help you on that front. Bill comes in. Now, North Carolina has good fan support. They have way more resources than Colorado did. And then Bill brings the instant credibility. So I do think that's going to be helpful. And here's the thing. North Carolina hasn't been bad. They just haven't really been able to get over the hump. And they've had good players in pockets. I mean, just lost Drake May to the NFL. I mean, that was a big one. Obviously, you know, Drake's brother Luke played basketball there. His dad played football there. But they had Sam Howell before that at quarterback. They have had really good players come through there. It's just not been a great cohesive roster. The best roster that North Carolina has had this century was in 2010 when Butch Davis was the head coach. And there was an NCAA scandal. And the roster never really got to play together. So it's funny because what was Butch Davis's job before he was the North Carolina coach? The Cleveland Browns coach. So right. This has worked there before.
Yeah. And the thing is, I always say whenever the NCAA comes around sniffing, that must mean you're doing something well, like Ole Miss when they had Treadwell and those guys and Kim Dice or back in the Urban Meyer days.
Well, no. See, they don't come sniffing if you're one of the ones that normally gets players like that. It's when you have a roster and you're not supposed to have a roster like that. Yeah. That's when they come around. Now, they won't come around now because you just pay them.
You know, I think it's interesting the timing. I love the timing of North Carolina to get this done with Belichick early in the portal window. You guys at On3 cover specifically.
Oh, it wasn't early in the portal window.
Is it not early enough?
The portal opened Monday. He took the job on Wednesday. He was way late.
He's a little late. I see a lot of quarterbacks available, though.
Yeah, it's not that great of a crop. It's there's not much out there that will change your program right now. Now, maybe they can tamper with somebody and get them to come in. But right now, you're sort of looking around and there's some potential high ceiling guys, but you don't know, like Jackson Arnold coming from Oklahoma. Maybe him, because we really didn't get a chance to see what he could do because their offensive line was bad and all the receivers were hurt at Oklahoma. But there's not a ton. And so Bill's going to have to beat the butches. Michael Lombardi. Going to have to beat the bushes here.
Andy Staples of On3 Sports joining the tailgate on 670 The Score in Chicago. All right, let's get to it. A lot of Notre Dame fans listening here. First round of the NCAA playoffs. Notre Dame has a team that seems physical, that seems threatening. How do you handicap them as a threat to win the national title right now, Notre Dame?
It's interesting because if they beat Indiana, they'd have to play Georgia in the second round. And stylistically, they're probably the scariest matchup for Georgia.
Yeah.
Because physically, they can match Georgia's players up front. Because Georgia has a good defensive line. They don't have the aliens they had on the defensive line.
They're down for Georgia.
Down for Georgia. Still good for everybody else. But Notre Dame's offensive line is very good. In spite of the fact that they've lost a couple guys to injury for the season, they've managed, as you watch that group go through the season, they got more cohesive, they got better, and they're just mauling people at the end of it, which is exactly what you want when you're playing against Georgia. And the fact that they have Riley Leonard, who is a really mobile quarterback who can get out of trouble, move the pocket, you know, keep plays alive and still keep his eyes downfield. I think they're in a good spot. Now, they have to beat Indiana first. And we've seen Kurt Cignetti all season. You give him a couple weeks with film on an opponent, he's going to come up with a good game plan. Like, Indiana does not have as good of players as Notre Dame does.
Right.
But Indiana's players are going to be in the right place every single time, and Notre Dame's going to have to play a really good game to beat them.
And Indiana, this would be the biggest win in history because, first of all, playoff win, and then who they're doing against Notre Dame. All right,
this would be the biggest win for Notre Dame since, like, 1995.
Right. That's a while. All right, I want to get to, because I know you got to run, Ryan Day in Ohio State. I'm still not over the loss to Michigan. I watched that game every second, and I'm still not sure what happened there. It felt like one of those body switching.
I'll tell you what happened.
Go ahead.
They tried to beat Michigan the way Michigan plays instead of just realizing they have better players.
Yeah, they tried out physical.
They did. Tried to out physical them when they have Jeremiah freaking Smith on their roster.
Right.
They targeted him twice.
Yeah, like track meet guys.
For those who are listening who don't follow college football, who only follow the NFL, Jeremiah Smith is a freshman wide receiver, so he won't be in the draft until 2027. Yeah, he'll be in the 2027 draft. He will be the best wide receiver in the world in 5 years. Like, it will not be close. Like, Justin Jefferson, enjoy your time. Jeremiah's coming.
Okay.
They targeted him twice.
And that's what bothers people. It's like, you know, Ohio State looks good all year, not great all year, but they did enough and just dispatched Michigan 23.5 points. Let's get to it. If Ryan Day and Ohio State, let's say they lay an egg against Tennessee at home. An egg. I'm talking like a 31-16-17
loss.
Oh,
it could be 31-30. My answer is going to be the same.
Well, go ahead.
They're not going to fire him.
Not. Too much money?
They're not going to fire him because, like, if you're an AD, you can't look at that record and go, nah, you're not getting it done. But it will be so miserable there. If I'm Ryan Day, I might seriously consider taking another job.
Like, kind of like the Jimbo Fisher years ago when he's at Florida State and he looked for a job before he got fired type thing.
A little bit. He wasn't going to get fired. He was just mad at the administration.
Right. Well,
so
it worked.
Day's a little different story. Like, Day's got a Michigan problem.
All right. Before we let you go, your pick for the national title right now. If you had to pick the winner or the title game,
gosh.
You don't have to do it because I know you want to save it for your show, but.
No. I'll do it now because I'll be wrong a bunch of times and have to change it. So
we'll edit it out.
Here's the thing. This is boring. I still think Oregon's the most complete team.
Yeah.
They're the one seed. I get it. But it's funny because the way that the tournament is deliberately misseeded, right. They actually have a harder path than some other teams.
Sure.
But
do.
I do think Oregon has the best top to bottom roster and has played the best all season. So I'm going to go with the Ducks.
All right. We talk a lot of ancillary stuff with college football and pro football on the show. Best uniforms right now in all of college football.
Ooh.
Your personal opinion, not like what the world would say, but to you that you just like, God, those are gorgeous.
So I've always loved Georgia's.
Yeah.
And I've always loved USC's. Like USC with the shoulder yokes. I'm a big shoulder yoke guy. So
yeah.
Love USC. I actually like the USC road uniform better than the home uniform. The cardinal helmet, white jersey, gold pants. I'm a sucker for Ohio State's. Like Ohio State is interesting because it's fine on TV, but when you see it in person and the helmet is sparkling and the Buckeye stickers are all over it.
Yeah, because it's just crystals in a helmet.
Yeah, it's just so cool.
Where do you stand now? I'm more modernist right now. Tulane is really saucy for me.
Yes. So Troy Dannon, who's now the athletic director at Nebraska, was at Tulane for a long time. And they basically were looking around in the offices one day, the staff was, and they found a box in a closet with a bunch of old logos. And one of them was that angry wave that went, ah. I love what Tulane's done because Tulane for years was primarily green. And now they've shifted to that powder blue with the green and the angry wave. The angry wave helmet on the powder blue is gorgeous. That's just beautiful. But I love the old school logos. Like there was one guy who apparently did the logos for a bunch of different schools in the 20s and 30s. And he's like, how about we put your mascot in a sailor cap? And so Auburn's got that. Cal's got that. There are different versions of it all over the country. But I love those logos. I'm a sucker for those. Homefield, the brand that makes the t-shirts with old logos.
Gorgeous.
Love all of those. So Tulane, like putting it on the helmet was spectacular. I'm also a fan of any time Oklahoma State puts Pistol Pete on the helmet.
Oh, those are so gorgeous. I wish there's some programs that don't play as well the uniforms looks. Like Oklahoma State uniforms are like an A. They play on the field as a B. Go to North Carolina.
Well, their play on the field was an F this year. It's usually
trying to be nice.
But here's the thing. The Oklahoma State logo, the Pistol Pete thing, if you look deeply into it, they have a different Pistol Pete for every sport.
Oh,
so there is a Pistol Pete playing golf. There is a Pistol Pete in a wrestling singlet. There is a Pistol Pete. Like they have a fishing team. They have an intercollegiate fishing team. And so there's a Pistol Pete fishing.
This is the kind of coverage you can get nowhere else. Andy Staples of On3 Sports joining the tailgate. Thanks a lot, Andy. Thanks for coming on, bud.
Thanks, Paulie.
No other show in Chicago breaks down college football uniforms as well as the tailgate does. Robbie, you booked that. Those guys during the week, I know they would love to do more on college football uniforms and helmets. We're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk college football, but we're also going to talk bratwurst and helmets on this show. Up next, Pub and Grub of the Week, my Bears-Vikings prediction, and the Chicago Bears fan morale meter. That's all next. This is the tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on 670 The Score, I'm Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate, coming up at 9 o'clock local time. Inside the clubhouse, first pitch, 9 a.m. with Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey. You met Ryan last week. Great guy. A lot of energy. Really interesting week in baseball in Chicago, and I'm looking forward to Inside the Clubhouse about an hour from now. The Cubs had a big week. I don't know if it's getting enough coverage, but the trade they made just in the past 24 hours. White Sox, long-term, I like what they're doing. Cubs made a big move, and I think it is telling about when might we... It might be a great tone of what the Cubs are going to do leading into next year. Not standing pat, making some moves, being a little more aggressive. Inside the Clubhouse coming up about an hour from now. All right, let's get to it. Pub and Grub of the Week. We feature a place to go watch football and drink beer and eat food because that's what we do. 1905 North Sheridan Road in Highland Park. My sources tell me Norton's is the spot. Big place, lots of TVs, full menu, big windows, high ceilings. I don't know why that's important, but I like a lot of room. Beer garden. The French dip sandwich is off the chain. All right, Norton's in Highland Park. That's what you want to check out. Now it's time for the Bears morale meter. How's morale, as we call it here on the tailgate? Last week, I had it at a 4.9. Now, that went up because the Bears appeared to do the smart move of moving on from Matt Eberflus. What the players wanted, what the fans wanted, they did it. They pulled up the Band-Aid, first time in the history of the franchise. But that was followed up by an ugly loss to the Niners. And the Bears had crushing losses this year, but not that many ugly losses. So I'm dropping the morale meter to 3.3. Yeah, because it's frustrating. You know, you get what you want. You get rid of your coach. A lot of the players seem to want that, and it's a no-show. And don't tell me that the Niners are the Niners of last year. That was a wounded Niners team. You gave it up. So Caleb Williams got four games to go to develop. They still got a great quarterback. Tune in every day on The Score here. And I'm not kidding. Like, don't bail on the Bears now that it's the home stretch. This is when the decisions will be made for next year. Watch what happens to Ryan Poles. Watch what happens to different people on offensive line, on defense. And there's no better place in The Score to hear the nuances of what's going to happen to this franchise, because now is when the decisions will be made for next year. Minnesota, Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay, that's a tough schedule. Shake it off, Paps. Let's get it together. Maybe the Bears can come through on Monday night. My prediction time, Bears, Vikings. The spread, I think, is 7, maybe 7.5. I'm going Minnesota 27, Bears 16. I don't think the Bears can afford another slow start against Minnesota. They're a very good squad, and they have a lot to play for. NFL home stretch, the most important games on Sundays. Bills and Lions will be a lot of fun. A lot of people think that's a Super Bowl preview. Check out Steelers-Eagles. If you haven't watched Russell Wilson, see what the Steelers can do. If they beat the Eagles, I think people will notice. Packers-Seahawks on Sunday night. College football today, check it out. Army versus Navy, 2 o'clock CBS. Army-Navy, it's your duty as a sports fan. College football bowl season is pending. The Pop-Tart Bowl, whatever bowl you got. There's a lot coming up, so a lot coming up today. And don't forget FCS football today. You even have that. But, you know, as a Bears fan, get ready for Monday night. Have some positive vibes. Tune in. Get ready. And you know, maybe pull one off. Maybe get a win that you don't expect out of nowhere. Because it's been such a tough 2 months that maybe this is the week that out of nowhere they get a win. It happens in the NFL. It's not like college football where the heavyweights always win. This could be one of the weeks where it happens. It gets, you know, the win you don't expect. The win out of nowhere. And don't forget, get your homage gear right now. Go to homage.com. Big tailgate supporter. Use tailgate as the code at homage.com and get your hoodie for the weekend. And don't forget, Robbie, we got to get those 670 Score hoodies going. Okay. Call some people.
We absolutely need it, definitely for this winter.
I'm going to call Mitch. I don't want to wake him up, but I'm going to call Mitch.
Oh, he's already up. Don't worry.
He's always up.
He's been up since 3 a.m.
Guy hasn't slept in 20 years. All right, that's the tailgate for this week. Enjoy the football. Enjoy your Christmas shopping. I'm a large, by the way, if you want to get your boy something. Plan accordingly. My name is Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. Have a good football weekend. Stay warm. Talk to you next week. This is 670 The Score.